God, tonight as we begin, I'd like to ask two sisters to do a bit of sharing, and because some of their experiences will be common to some of you. And I'm going to teach to illustrate how to get into the spirit realm, like we did a bit of exercise yesterday. And so we're going to teach a bit more into details how to tune ourselves to the spirit world. Because one of the things is, as the last days draw near, the Bible tells us there'll be more visions and revelations. And as we teach people how to open themselves to the Spirit, as you all know from this series of teaching, that the spirit world is not so spooky or not flaky. It's all in the realm of the Word and the Spirit and on love. And it's something that we should be used to. And we should grow into. We can actually grow into that because of Matthew 5 that tells us, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. It's a promise for everyone, not just for some. So I'd like them to share a little bit of story of what they're experiencing right now. First, we ask our sister here to share her recent experience.
I was born. I came to the Lord in early March this year. Last Saturday night, I felt the presence of the Lord very, very strong. And I asked the Lord, Lord, what is it? Whatever it is, I'm ready. So then I see clouds, one after another came. After that, it was total darkness. Then I felt myself lifted up very, very slowly. But then at one moment, that breaking point, fear came. And when fear came, the thought came, and I felt like, oh my goodness, if I go there, will I come back again? So then the thought of rejection, and then slowly I came back, very slowly. Each step was very slowly, and even when I came back, I could still feel the presence of the Lord. But just before that, I could see a vision on my left side, very dim. Skeleton head, you know, in the dark hood, very, very dim. Just a couple of times popping up. And that's how, all I see. So I'm asking Pastor what is it? Thank you.
Okay, we're going to explain that afterwards. So hold that in your mind and the testimony. And about her going, and then she got pulled back. And and also about the vision. So hold that in your mind. We're going to ask a new sister, she's here tonight, Alice. She had about a 90-minute experience in heaven.
Hello, Gravy. I'm Alice. Actually, this is the first time I come to this church because my friend last minute SMS to me to come to listen to him. You know that he's very good because he knows about spiritual world. And because I have experience being brought up to heaven for 90 minutes, and I cannot find anyone telling me or explain to me what I see up there. So it's very wonderful that just when I come early, I'm able to chit-chat with Pastor Tan. Then I know where actually I've been. But actually, I want to first start and I thank God how God actually lead me to this place of peace and holiness with Him and closeness with Him. Actually, I grew up in a Presbyterian church. I don't believe in speaking in tongues. I'm very scared of people speaking in tongues. Until one day, God lead me to accompany a friend for ministry. They don't know that is an environment speaking in tongues. Then, after that, I also being prayed for by the pastor. So, I know there are difference by moving the spirit and what being taught in Presbyterian church is very different. So, since then, that was 5 years ago, I start to chase after Holy Spirit. Yeah, then God lead me to one place and another place because I'm in that Presbyterian church for 24 years. And in that few years of chasing Holy Spirit, I come across and hear a lot of different speakers' sermons. And I just want to share that how God prepared me, because I only received the gift of speaking in tongues 5 years ago, although I'm almost 30 years in Christ. And God started to prepare me by equipping my spirit man, by touch the Holy Spirit to speak in tongues for 5 to 10 hours a day for 7 months. And yeah, then after that, because I also don't believe in fasting, because I have gastric, I'm so frightened of fasting. But somehow Holy Spirit convinced me to do fasting, so I have no choice. I fast 3 days a month for a year. Then not enough, God said, no, at least you have to lengthen it. So I have to fast 7 days a month. Yeah, but throughout all this process, I know God is actually sanctified me. And the first miracle encounter I have with God is in 2006, when attending the global prayer meeting at National Stadium. And it's so noisy, and I was brought to the spiritual realm. First, I noticed that grace pierced into my heart. My heart being enlarged. Then suddenly I go to a place that is so quiet, no sound at all. Because National Stadium is very noisy. But I come to a place that, why I did not hear anything? And it's very quiet, and there's no movement. And I can only hear water dripping. Then my heart a little bit hesitated, because I do not know where it's like, suddenly very strange experience. Then immediately I'm back to my present world. Then I noticed that my tears keep rolling down. So I realized that I had special encounter. But that is the point that God first start to teach me what is grace. Because although I read a lot of grace, but I do not know. So God actually let grace pierce into my heart, and I experience it, what it means. Yeah, you first need to enlarge your heart. And second, you need to have a lot of compassion. Yeah, and you have really closeness with God. This is what grace means to me. Yeah, then after that, second year, after that, the Holy Spirit also continued to lead me to other places. Yeah, then come to second year, yeah, there's one day, I heard a lot of people seeing happy angels. So I said, God, I want to see happy angels. Then God just, I don't know, then suddenly there's one day, I see a hand stretching out from heaven and just, cut my heart into two pieces and insert a big piece into my heart. You can see the piece are traveling around my body. Then after that, I know that my whole countenance changed. So that's how God teach me how to have peace. Then after that, it's one encounter after another encounter. Like 1 week later, then suddenly I see myself flying in galaxy. So I said, why? Like, it looks like imagination, because it's a split of seconds. So I also put it aside. Then 10 days later, suddenly a voice asked me, Alice, let go. Then I see a hand leave up my spirit out from my body. And I fly into a galaxy. But this time around, I fly. I admire the surrounding beauty. And suddenly I come to a plateau. Then I hesitated again. Because it's like, suddenly I realize that this is in the heaven. But I'm not sure whether it's the second heaven or third heaven. So I hesitated. But very fast, I back to my normal, my body again. Then somehow, God also tell me He will bring me into glory realm. So at that time, I don't know what is glory realm. I thought it's something to do with angel. Then at that point, there's a church, have a church camp, and their speaker is talking about glory realm. I said, God is bringing me to glory realm. So I just happily attend the church. So the pastor is talking about glory realm, going up to the heaven. So in the meeting, actually, I don't feel anything. So when he said, whoever wants to go for heaven, just come out. Then, so everybody just go out and the pastor just pray for all of us. Yeah, then when I come back to Singapore, yeah, so I just pray to God, God, I want to access the spiritual realm by faith. Then zoom, I got immediately. So this time around, because this is a third experience, so I'm very calm already. So I just walk around. So just so I managed to check with the pastor, those places that I went, like the throne room, the wisdom building, then the passageway is where? Okay, it's a section behind the throne room, see the galaxy. Then I see the outer darkness. That's why I asked him, why universe have a darkness there? Then he explained to me. Yeah, then in the heaven, God actually gave me a lot of visions and also teaching. So I found that when I come down, my confidence to pray to God actually is lifted up. And I know that whatever I pray, I have to be very careful because I speak into a spiritual realm. And now I experience the reality of God. So, yeah, so after I come down, I learn what is deep peace, how to have deep peace, and I'm very serious about God's word now. Yeah, so everything, my perception, everything all changed. Yeah, so I thank God for all this wonderful experience I have.
Praise God. So those are very good testimonies. And we need to share from the biblical side what's actually happening. And basically, as you all know, we all have a promise in Matthew chapter 5 that says, blessed are the pure in heart, that for they shall see God. And let's look at the book of Matthew. Firstly, our approach tonight, we're looking at some scriptures to try to give some hint of explanations on all the two sisters' experience. Then, I will sort of try to show you in diagram format what the spiritual world is. After that, we talk about the internalizing of ourselves to the spiritual world so that we could move into the realm easily. So, Matthew chapter 5, among the Beatitudes, Jesus says, in Matthew 5, verse 8, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Obviously, this is, God is the Spirit, and to see God, you need to be in the Spirit. And God is love. To see God, you need to be in the same frequency as Him, in the love frequency. The word pure here is the Greek word kataros. K-A-T-H-A-R-O-S, Romanized. Kataros. Kataros means to be totally clean. In a way, you could translate it as, blessed are the clean in heart, for they shall see God. But the word kataros is used as a cleansing, not a natural cleansing, but a spiritual cleansing by the word of God. The word kataros is used in John chapter 15, verse 3. John chapter 15, verse 3. Which says, you are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. So here Jesus himself is saying that his disciples have been cleansed by the word that he spoke, the word of God. So let's invite Jesus at this time in a prayer. Father, we thank you for sending Jesus into our lives. We thank you, Father, that Jesus is in our midst through the Holy Spirit to lead and guide us into all truth. We invite your Holy Spirit to open and enlighten our hearts and minds that we may know and understand the things of your Spirit. Most of all, that we may experience the spiritual realm, that we may know all your fullness. Reveal yourself to us, Father, through Jesus Christ, by the power of your Holy Spirit. And we declare, Father, the release of your Spirit of wisdom and revelation, that the eyes of our understanding will be enlightened tonight, that we may know the hope of your calling and the riches of your inheritance in the same. In Jesus' name, and everyone said, Amen. So we took one step further. If blessed are the pure in heart, kataros pure in heart, they shall see God. And then we took another step to show in John 15 verse 3 that the word pure in heart is the word kataros. In John 15 verse 3 says that the purity is to be cleansed. The same word pure translated cleanse in John 15 verse 3. Blessed are those whose hearts are clean by the word. Which means that if any Christian were to spend a lot of time in the word and allow the word to clean you up internally, you will qualify. And if you qualify, then you will see God. Which has always been Jesus' promise all the time in John chapter 14, verse 21, where he says, "He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me, and he who loves me will be loved by my Father. And I will love him and manifest myself to him." So here's another promise where Jesus promised to show himself. We love him, we love his commandments. Now, as our sister was sharing just now about our first sister that shared, that as she was going up, she had an experience of the presence of God, right? And as she experienced the presence of God, she felt this force lifting her up until a certain point when a thought came, thought of fear. And that was when she stopped and it came down. Our second sister was sharing how she was just filled with this peace and this joy. And then in a third occasion, was it a third occasion? God took you all the way and you spent about 90 minutes in heaven, God's throne, and he showed you several things. Thoughts are real in the spiritual world, as you all know. Although a thought cannot be weighed, thoughts have weight, have spiritual weight. Thoughts can be heavy, thoughts can be light. Thoughts can be dark, thoughts can be pure. Thoughts have weight, spiritual weight. And I know that in the physical you cannot weigh it, but there are a lot of even scientific things that you cannot weigh in a normal machine. You can't weigh the quarks in a proton or neutron. They can only estimate or the calculation by the reactions. A lot of things you can't weigh. They got to examine and look for it by the after effects of its traveling. In a similar way, there are concepts higher beyond the natural world which you cannot weigh in our normal thing, our normal weighing machine, but it has an effect on us. Thoughts are real, feelings are real. We mentioned two nights ago that there are three dimensions of thoughts. Remember, I mentioned that. There are several Greek words for thought, but we only cover three. The Greek word for thoughts, one of them is dialogismos, which talk about logical thoughts. Then there are thoughts that are visual, dianoia thoughts. And then there are thoughts that are linked to our feelings and to masses. So there are different realms of thoughts that affect us. And we realize that the different parts of our brain and mind is connected to thoughts. And I have also mentioned that our mind, the mind of the soul, is not in the brain. Is in an invisible realm somewhere inside us. The brain connects to the mind. So there are lots of connections. Long ago we cannot understand it, but now we can. This is a wireless microphone. As I speak, it's connected to a receiver, and the receiver goes to an amplifier and broadcasts it into the amps, into the speakers. We could have 1,000 choir members, and each have a 1,000 different frequencies, and a different mic set of different frequencies, all wireless, transmitted to 1,000 receivers, combined together and broadcasted through the system. So each individual mic is connected differently. And I would say your brain has a wireless connection, which is invisible, connected to your soul. You can't see the physical connection. And it's both transmitting and receiving from your soul realm, and your soul is connected to your spirit. And so thoughts, feelings, and the will, three parts of our soul, exist in our consciousness. Think about it. Your whole existence rests in your consciousness. If you lose your consciousness, you lose your self-identity. Your consciousness. And nowadays, sometimes you get movies where a person's consciousness got accidentally or purposefully downloaded in the computer. And then they became part of the computer. It's a horrifying thought. It doesn't actually take place. Not possible scientifically. But consciousness. Or, we won't do it. Let's do a hypothetical case. Or, what happened if a person's head is cut off and attached to an animal? Would it be the animal thinking or the person thinking? Hard thought, isn't it? Of course, that's a horrifying experiment. Looks like Dr. Evil. But I'm just trying to stretch your understanding to show that this physical body is only a temporary form. The real you is your consciousness. When your physical body dies, you don't lose your identity. Your consciousness still exists. So there's a part of us that is conscious. Remember in Luke 16? The rich man and the poor man. They both died, and they're in a place called Hades, which is separated by a chasm. The poor man was in Abraham's bosom. The rich man was in a place where he was thirsty and suffering, and they couldn't cross over. They're both dead. But they were both conscious. They could see, they could hear, they could feel. The man was very thirsty. All your five senses still work. So our five senses in the physical body is an imitation of the real five senses in the invisible realm. What I'm saying to you is that your consciousness is not in the body. This body is only an organic circuit that your consciousness expresses itself through. And nowadays they have a whole collection of OBE and NDE. OBE is out of body experience. NDE is near death experience. Or people actually die. There's a whole scientific study that is done today. Not by Christians, by non-Christians who are neutral. And they have realized that people's consciousness is outside their body. And it can move outside their body. And many near-death experiences, they can see their body there and their consciousness is here. Because your true self is your soul and your spirit. The body that you have is only a piece of clothing. The Bible even calls it a tabernacle, a tent. when your spirit and soul occupy this body, it makes use of the circuitry of the organic body to express itself. Now, part of its expression, comes through your brain and different parts of your brain. And your whole brain is more or less like millions and zillions of connections to your soul. Remember, I illustrated with 1,000 microphones? Well, think in terms of billions of intricate connections directly to the soul. That is why if you stimulate the brain, you get certain memories download from the soul at different parts. So your real self is not in the brain. It's in your consciousness. That consciousness can move between your spirit, soul, or your body. It can move between your spirit, soul, and body. Living in these physical bodies for very long, we tend to be body conscious. And we need to train to be spirit conscious. Babies and infants who have fresh new spirits are not very body conscious. Many of them are spirit conscious. In fact, in the spiritual world, I've seen spirits in fetus who are still in their mother's womb. And I've seen the spirit world, spirits of this fetus occasionally being allowed by the angels to still commune in heaven to and fro. And even after they are born, sometimes they still have that communion through their angels. And many of them are born aware of the spirit. In fact, for them, the body is like darkness. It's like this, entering a dark tunnel and trying to move through it. And that's why there's a lot of angelic help when spirits come into the bodies and are born in this earth. But the Bible tells us that all infants, all babies are safe. And in John chapter 1, verse 4, that He is the light that lighted all men. In Him was life, and the light was the life of all men. Implying that everyone who comes to this world is lighted by the light of Jesus. And that's why all infants and babies are safe until they grow to the age of accountability. And then because they become more and more body conscious, sin conscious, because all sins are from the body. Think about it. All worst kind of things, it starts in that realm. And self comes in. And then we lose it and we need to find our spirituality again. That's where we need to be born again and get back into God. But that's the path that we all take. Our real consciousness is in our spirit. Yesterday we talked about the five qualities of your spirit, man. Your spirit is not limited by geographical space or distance. Your spirit is not limited by time. It can go to the past, present, future. Your spirit has access to wisdom. Your spirit is in contact with the heavenly realm and its music and melodies. And your spirit has access to God's resource, strength, and power. Five qualities of your spirit, man. We touched on that yesterday. So if you connect to your spirit will lift you up. And we are receiving all the time in three areas of thoughts. It's like the three pieces of the tabernacle in the holy place. The candlestick, the showbread, and the altar of incense. Candlestick represents the Holy Spirit. Showbread represents the authority of our Lord Jesus Christ and His kingship, and the name of Jesus. Also incense, the power of praise, prayer, and worship. And that represents our soul, which represents your emotions, your will, and your intellect. And the candlestick represents the Holy Spirit, it represents your emotions. See, why is your emotions tied to the Holy Spirit? We'll touch on more of it afterwards, but for the time being, notice how love and the gifts of the Spirit work together. 1 Corinthians 13, without love, you are nothing. Faith is nothing, tongues are nothing, all the gifts are nothing. But when love comes in, that's when the gifts edify. And Jesus, in Matthew 14, whenever He moves, compassion flows forth. So the gifts of the Spirit and the Holy Spirit is always tied to your emotions. Take note of that the next time you're going to move in the Spirit. That's why when people have their emotions not properly sanctified, cannot move in the Spirit. Which is why yesterday I got you to move into love, joy, peace before you start sensing that realm. Table or showbread is your mind, your intellect. With the 12 loaves there, the bread represents the Word of God. It represents your intellect. And that's where God's Word needs to come forth more and more. Cleanness, teachers, His doctrines, His understanding. Our intellect, our mind. Altar incense represents your will. I will pray with the Spirit. I will pray with the understanding. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 14 and 15. Your will chooses. And why is it the altar incense? The altar incense, as we've shown, in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 1 to 5, the altar incense is not just in the holy place, it is also originally behind the veil, where the ark is. And it was brought into the holy place because the priest couldn't enter the most holy place but once a year on the Day of Atonement. Whereas the altar incense needs to be attended to daily. So for the sake of our human frailty, it was brought to the holy place. But originally, it was inside, beyond the veil. You read Hebrews chapter 9, verse 1 to 5, it was behind the second veil. Is two pieces of furniture, not just one, the ark and the altar incense. So notice, the altar incense represents in the most holy place and out. So it represents by your will and by your choice, you can move your consciousness into the spiritual realm. And didn't Jesus open the second veil? And by your will, you can pray with the understanding and you can pray with the Spirit. And that is why when our two sisters were sharing their experiences, remember, every weight, every thought that you have can be light, can be heavy, can be dark, can be pure. All your thoughts, your logical thoughts, your visual thoughts, your feeling thoughts, all your thoughts can be in that realm. Now, pretend that this pulpit is you, your consciousness. Your consciousness can be heavy, or dark, or light. If your consciousness is full of heavy thoughts, of course your consciousness cannot go up. Understand that? Because it has real weight. It has real weight in the spiritual realm. Thoughts have substance. Feelings have substance. Their real way. So your consciousness must be filled with thoughts that are light, pure, holy, peaceful, loving, and the lighter they are, what happens if, let's pretend that this pulpit is a little balloon shape, and I have a little tube, and I pump the balloon with hydrogen or helium gas. The more I pump, the lighter it becomes. And the consciousness will keep rising. The more hydrogen, let's say, it can expand. And as I pump more helium or hydrogen gas, which is lighter than air, the higher it floats. The more thoughts and feelings that are lighter, the more it floats. Now this is a choice of our will. Notice here in the book of Colossians chapter 3. Now what we are doing is the practicalizing of Colossians chapter 3, verse 1 to 2. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Now, obviously, verse 1 is in heaven. Isn't that right? Colossians 3, verse 1 is in heaven. It says, Christ is risen, seated at the right hand of God. That's heaven. That's heaven. And that's not the only verse. Ephesians 2 also tells us the same. You are risen, you have been risen with Christ. So what is God telling us? You have your spirit, soul, and your body. Your spirit has the potential to be there. Isn't that right? We were born again of the spirit, of the same nature. Now, there is a spiritual law in the spiritual world, which is like attract to like. Those of the same nature will be attracted together. So if right now all of us here were to be translated and taken to heaven right now, there are different degrees of heaven. Straight away, you will be automatically floating and grouped according to your spiritual level. It's only on this earth that people of different spiritual world can sit so close to each other. Because this physical body is holding everyone down. But if we go to the spiritual realm, let's say, hypothetically, and from a scale of 1 volt to a million volts, oh, that's too much, let's not go too far, right? 1 volt to 100 volts, 100 being the best and closer to God. Let's say your spirituality is 2 volts and another person is 70 volts. In the spiritual world, you try to get close to each other. You're only, how many volts? 2 volts. As the 70 volts come near, you get because you cannot stand it. You become uncomfortable. That's the same reason why demons are uncomfortable when he's in the presence of Jesus. Remember when Jesus walked on the earth? Demons scream, they cannot stand. That's because the Holy Spirit was penetrating even through his physical body. And demons sense it. So all it takes for Jesus to cast out the demon was to show up and just release a little bit of his glory. And demons will say, ah! And they cannot stand it. Because there are no keys. The gates are always open in heaven. Why don't all those demons right now launch a full-scale warfare and enter the gates of heaven and conquer God? Of course, God has weapons, you know. That's probably what you thought. But God doesn't even need to lift his finger. Because the glory of God, it is painful painful. Now we have this fluorescent light. Let's say if I increase the lights until every panel here is bright, not fluorescent light, but the stadium light. You all will be roasting. And you will all be having to, and then not only that, I make all the chairs all lighted up. And I put lights everywhere, on the floor, on the ceiling, on the walls, on the pillars. It's so bright, everything is just bright. Your eyes cannot take it. You have to come to church with sunglasses. But what happens if that kind of light penetrate even sunglasses? You can't stand it. That's why the devil cannot stand the glory of God. That's what it's like when you confront glory. So 70 volts cannot go with 2 volts. So some of you are feeling very sad. You say, hey, what happened? Someone grew very spiritual and now here. Can I still visit? Of course you can. God gives you special garments. The transition points. So you borrowed these garments that can stand the glory. So they temporarily cover you so you do your visitation and your visitation rites. And then after that you come back. But at least you can keep growing. You know where you want to be. And then for those in higher glory, for them to come down, they have to cover some of their glory. They have to cover some of the glory. And this we know the stories in the Bible are true. Remember, God told Moses, you cannot see my glory, you see me, you die. Flesh cannot take it. So you know what God says? I will pass by, cover you, and when I almost finish, I just take my hand off, you see a little bit at the ending, that's it. Because he cannot see too much. He will die. So the same way, the higher can cover their glory. And so, there are degrees of glory. In the spiritual world, people of different spiritual level cannot just zoom together. Of course, they can do it lightning fast and put on their garments. But what I mean is, naturally, it's hard to bring it together. But people of the same spiritual level will flock together. Now that is not only happening in heaven, even in hell. In hell, all those suicide people are in one section. All those in the flesh is in one section, sins of the flesh. All those thieves, when a thief die, and he's dragged down to hell, he lands in the section where all are thieves. And everyone is a thief, so thief looks at thief. You thief, I'm thief. Everyone is all the same. And the worst ones are all together. So can you imagine how they torment each other? They torment each other until that there's a tremendous suffering. So Jesus is in heaven. Colossians 3 verse 1. Obviously, Jesus is in heaven. When we are born again, our spirits have the potential to be there. Actually, our spirit came from there. But as a spirit merged with our soul, which is our mind has different degree of weight. That is why in Romans 12 verse 1 and 2, we are asked to renew our mind. And you know the Bible has words like exchange the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Where does the heaviness lie? In the soul. In the soul. It's not talking about your physical heaviness, right? Although there are miracles of people losing weight, but that's a different story altogether. It's not talking about physical when you say exchange the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. It's the spirit of heaviness. Here in verse 2 it says, since Jesus is up there, verse 2, set your mind on the things above. Not on the things of the earth. So it's telling you to bring your mind, to the same level as God wants it. And as your mind is cleansed, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. John 15 verse 3, my word has made you pure or cleansed. So as your mind is cleansed, then you actually remove, let's pretend all these heavy things are on your soul. As you remove all those things, you will naturally be drawn to that realm. That is why our sister, she's only born again in March, few months old Christian. She feels the presence of God, and the presence of God keep wanting to make you go up because your specific gravity was changing. I call it specific gravity so you can understand it. Spiritual specific gravity. Specific gravity is a term that applies to an object in water, your buoyancy. So if your specific gravity, you know, is very heavy, you'd be like submarine way down near the bottom. Whoop, 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 whoop. But your specific gravity is very light, like a piece of wood, it will float on the surface. There is a spiritual specific gravity. And the more spiritualized you are, your specific gravity naturally is drawn to God. So that's why, sister, don't give up, because your specific gravity is changing. And as you keep walking with God and renewing your heart and your mind, you notice all it takes is a thought. And it's just like you're floating on your on a hydrogen balloon, and someone puts a heavy basket, chum, you go down. One thought. One thought is all it takes. You remember Peter walking on water? Sometimes the spiritual law enters the natural. Jesus was walking on water, and Peter was walking on water in Matthew chapter 14. Jesus said, come. And Peter started walking towards Jesus. He was alright. He was looking at Jesus. For a moment, the spiritual was ruling the physical. The natural law was being broken. What we call miracles, the spiritual call normal occurrences. Because the spiritual law is always greater than the natural law. And so, the spiritual law could make a physical body float or walk above the water. And so for a moment, the spiritual law was ruling over the law of gravity. And as Peter was walking towards Jesus, he saw the wind, he saw the waves, and fear came. Says, this couldn't be. Humans don't walk on water. Ghosts do. Which was why they thought Jesus was a ghost, right? If if you go to your beaches here, I don't know what your beaches here are like, Pasir Ris or whatever, and you look out, you see boats floating, you're not shocked. You see a big giant ship going by, you're not shocked. But you see a man walking up and down, yeah, 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 and you'll be shocked. Because that's not normal. Because humans don't walk on water. But for a moment, Peter was walking on water. Until fear came, and his body was affected, his spirit was affected, his soul was affected, and he became heavy. It stopped working for him. The spiritual law is so wonderful that sometimes your specific gravity is enough to pull your consciousness and soul up to God. But let me tell you this. Your spirit is already in God. Remember what I say about spirit not having distance? Because some of you think, is there? What about here? Because in the spiritual world, it's connected. You are there and here. And it's a past tense when you're in Christ. If you were raised with Christ, here is a conditional. But in Ephesians chapter 2, it says here, in verse 6, and raised us up, past tense, together, and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace. He has raised us up together. Past tense. You're already in Christ. You see, if I'm in Christ, shouldn't I be feeling Him? No, because your soul is now here in consciousness. So treat it this way. You have your spirit in this section here, on my right. You have your soul in the center here of the altar area. You have your body on the left side. So you have spirit, soul, and body. Unfortunately, your consciousness has to be in one place at one time. One place at one time. Your consciousness. So, in order to function on this earth, our consciousness tends to be closer to the body, in our soul. Sometimes in prayer, your consciousness gets into the spiritual and you feel that you're not here, you're there. Now, I have to find something to illustrate this. Right now, while you're sitting down, none of you are conscious of your little finger on your left. Right? Try to feel your little finger on your left. But if you touch your little finger on your left, your little finger on the left suddenly gains what you call a sense of touch. If I have a little pin and I prick it, you feel pain. Suddenly you're conscious of your little finger on your left. Let's say hypothetically, I'm not going to do it. I take a pin and I poke your little finger on your left, which you were not aware. Suddenly, because of the pain, you feel it. Your natural feelings come. Your body becomes aware. Now, that's only a tiny pain. If I take your little finger, the one that says wee all the way home, but that's supposed to be a little toe, right? But let's say your little finger, put it on the floor, and I stamp on it, you're not just going to say, that's nice. You're probably going to say, ow, why did you do that? You're going to scream with pain. But you never felt it before until I stamp on it. And Dr. Evil comes and cuts off your little finger. You'll be, and you take a long time to get rid of that feeling. And even sometimes when people lose their limbs, they have what you call psycho limbs, which are not there, but they seem to feel it. And I'm just talking about your body consciousness. Your body consciousness moves according to which part was painful. And otherwise, you're not really conscious of your body. You're not really conscious of your body. It's only in the background of consciousness. You're conscious of your mind thinking or other things. Unless you have a pain in your body and you're always conscious of your body. So that's body consciousness. Now imagine that body consciousness could be shifted between spirit, soul, and body. Which is what true consciousness is. Because your consciousness is not just a consciousness of the body. The consciousness that you're feeling, the identity of the I, the me, is a consciousness that can be shifted to the spiritual realm, shifted in the soul realm, shifted in the physical realm. Now, all of us have a default mode in your consciousness. If you love mathematics and you're someone who in your free time likes to just solve calculus problems or do double tonsorial calculus or whatever, then obviously your default mode is in your mind. And you notice what happens to people who are very mental? They forget to eat sometimes. They forget their appointments. You know, many famous scientists are also absent-minded scientists. How can they be so brilliant and yet so absent-minded? Because they are so conscious of their mind and their mental calculations, they forgot to eat, they forgot this, they forgot that. Consciousness. An athlete is very conscious of their body, training them all the time, and conscious of every little bone and muscle in their body. And mind you, if you're not an athlete and you really go for training, you discover muscles that you never know you have. Try climbing up the stairs, you know, of the Empire State Building. You discover muscles that you never knew existed on your body. Because it's the first time you really stretch those muscles that you were not conscious of. So you can shift your consciousness to the physical body. And let me also let you know that there is a consciousness of the spirit, which we make a little attempt to push you into last night. Some of you got into your soul, some of you managed to touch the realm of the spirit. There is a consciousness of the spirit. And your default mode should be sad. In Colossians 3 verse 2, into that area. That's why it tells us, push your consciousness towards that and you live your life from that consciousness. And it will be a divine flow. Why? You say, why? Remember yesterday, the five things you have? What does your spirit have? Not limited by space, not limited by time. You have wisdom. You have the melodies of heaven. And you have power. And here is what the spiritual world instruction was. One of the things that when they came back. They say, why teach about the spiritual world? Here's why. If you shift your consciousness there, you will be energizing your life with power that you never know you have. It is just like if you have the choice between having a little AA size battery or a 12 volt lead acid battery or a nuclear power plant. Which would you have? Would you say, oh, I'm happy with a tiny little AA size battery? Now I'm talking about energy for your entire life. And so some people are body conscious and they tap all on the RAM of their body. And let me tell you this. This is a secret. Even athletes who want to be number one. You want to be the number one badminton player, number one football player, number one tennis player, number one anything. You cannot just tap on here. You have to tap higher. Because sometimes it's the mental. All coaches will tell you, the mental conditioning is as important as the physical conditioning. Now, physical is important. But when two people with peak physical body compete, the mental one wins. But then there's also another realm beyond the mental, which is the spiritual. You see, those who condition themselves mentally, try to themselves to win. But the one who taps into the spirit flow in the beauty of the game and grace. And even athletes know that that moment is a moment when suddenly all things just flow together. Why is it that it takes so long for the 4-minute mile to be broken? Was it a physical problem? No. It was a big mental block. The moment, what was his name, Roger Bannister? Or was it Richard? I think it was Roger. Anybody know his name? Right. And broke the 4-minute mile. Within the same day, another one broke it. Within the next, couple of weeks, everyone started breaking it like it was nobody's business. Today, running less than 4 minutes a mile, kacang putih, peanuts. The first time a person broke the 10-second mark for 100 meters, everyone was watching. And the moment the first guy breaks under 10 seconds for 100 meters, now to be a gold medalist in the Olympic, you must be less than 10. Anything 10 and above, too slow. Not even a bronze medal. Can't even smell the medal. Because it's a mental block. Now there is a physical conditioning too. I'm not denying that. But there is also a mental conditioning. But of course there is also a spiritual conditioning. So it's like, how would you want to live your life? You want to live the rest of your life like a little toy that you bought for $2 down the street. Plugged into you an AA battery, and all you walk, and you even are so energetic, you say, why? Because I use ever ready battery better than your brandless one. But you still stop halfway anyway. Because it's only one AA battery. How long can you last? Oh, of course, you cannot run your car on an AA battery. You need a 12-volt battery. So you can run and run and run, but it's not forever either. After a year or two, you might have to change it. Because it's not lasting forever. But you have nuclear power plant with endless supply. Of course, that's a bit funny illustration because it produces radiation. So maybe we should say, a fusion reactor with an endless supply of heavy hydrogen. So you got to literally have the sun inside you. Endless supply. Which would you tap on? Because it's spiritual. And what God is showing is that every day you can learn to tap upon that. Every day. Now let me show what the spiritual world is like. Can we look at that page 21 on my book. Now, what we're showing in about the book is it's a free book on our website, eaglevision.com.my, and we are looking at page 21. While it's coming up, I ask you this question: what is a thought? What is a feeling? I'm not talking about physical feelings, the inside feelings. Feelings of love, rejection. Your body cannot really feel it by itself, it's something deeper. How does your body know it's rejected? Your soul has to tell your body. What is the inner feeling? What is a thought? And let me illustrate this. Right now, you can read and see because there's light. If I remove all physical light, none of you can see. You cannot see anything. Correct. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17 and 18. It says, the eyes of your understanding be flooded with light. It's not a natural light, spiritual light. And let me add this. Your ability to think and have thoughts is because God shines an inner light on your inside. I repeat again. The ability to think, feel, exists is there because the Spirit is constantly giving the ability. If that Spirit stops giving the ability, you will not be able to think. So even our ability to think about thoughts as the ability to see because of a light. Just like physically you can see because there's physical light. Your soul can think, can feel, because it has spiritual light coming out. And the more spiritual light, the better you can think and experience. God is closer than we realize. The spirit realm is closer than we realize. Because thoughts exist in the soul and in the physical realm. Now the spiritual world near the planet Earth looks something like this picture in page 21 of my book. You see here the planet Earth. Of course, I had to draw it a bit flat to get it all out. And then you see the realms. I call it the atero-astral sphere. Then you have the intermediate sphere, the lowest light sphere, and the light spheres, many light spheres. Underneath it, you have the dark. Of course, within the Earth is a place called hell. But beyond that, darkness and outer darkness. These are all where all the evil spirits and those who are in evil goes to. Within the Earth. Most of humans go within the Earth. But there's some that are thrown into outer darkness. Spirits are locked in chains of outer darkness. Now, in this diagram, it is facing, you know, this east. And of course, this ethereal exosphere, although I draw it above the Earth, should be around the Earth, because the physical only exists because of this ethereal sphere around it that holds its form. The ethereal exosphere is like a mold that holds the physical realm. We can go more into that tomorrow, if we have time. And now this whole diagram here is what the spiritual world is like as the Earth revolves around the Sun. The Sun is towards the east, and pretend this pulpit is the Sun. So that whole diagram revolves around the Sun, as the Sun revolves. And the Sun from the spiritual realm, the Lord showed me, the Sun from the spiritual realm is not exactly what we see as just a physical sphere. The Sun would be like, if I were to have, this is a good one. If I take a piece of black cardboard, and I cut holes into it, like this black thing here, and I put it, let's say the holes are smaller than this, these are huge holes, and I put it a light behind me, you would see light coming up from the holes, correct? Behind the Sun, it's not just the spiritual shape. All the Sun and all the stars of all the galaxies of the universe, there is a spiritual connection and a light. Although we have physical light, but there is also a spiritual light behind it that connects. Like if I were to hold this up, I can have, there are lots of holes here, 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, and 2, 4, 6, it's 2, 4, 40, 44 holes. There are 44 holes in this little pulpit thing. If I hold it here, you see 44 little round lights coming out through the hole. Now, the light is not coming really from these 44 little holes. The light came from one source. And that source is behind the light. So if I take a piece of black cardboard and I put many holes in it and I shine a light through it and completely block up all the light everywhere except the light coming through the pin holes, you will see many points of light. Imagine that each point of light is a sun or a star. So the real energy behind all the stars and all the sun is coming from God's source, one source. Remember how the physical reflects the spiritual? So there is a spiritual light that is somehow energizing the sun, and then it continues. Of course, based on physics and science, it just says the sun will just keep burning and it burns out. But then you cannot explain the black holes, and you cannot explain how after the sun burns out, another one still can rise up and new stars are being formed. Right? You cannot explain everything. Just pointing to a spiritual realm here, when you move and your spirit is rising to God, these are planes of the spirit above the earth. And they're all moving as it moves around the sun in that pattern. That is why you notice the dark spheres behind the area of the earth is facing away from the sun. The good thing is the earth rotates. And so all parts of the earth receive sunlight. But our moon is different. Our moon doesn't rotate. So the moon actually revolves around the earth facing one side. So always, we see only one side of the moon. Because the moon doesn't rotate. And that's a fact of science. When you look up to the moon, it's always the same face. And from planet Earth, you can never see the other side of the moon. You have to take a rocket and go over the other side and shine a light to see what the other side of the moon is like. Because the moon doesn't rotate. If the moon rotates, you can see this side. But it doesn't. So our moon revolves around the Earth, facing only one side to us all the time. And so imagine all this spiritual realm facing the sun as it revolves around the sun. So you can realize that the part that is close towards the sun has all these bright spheres and the heavenly spheres, the paradise, and goes higher. And the part that is below the earth, behind the sun, is where all the darkness is. Have you noticed that most crimes and most all the things, the influence there is always, because there's always pressure, and here demons and all that are, they have all their thoughts and they're trying to send all their evil thoughts, evil influences, evil feelings all towards the earth. Have you noticed that most crimes happen at night? They not only are dark, but what we have physically is symbolizing the spiritual that is there. And in the spiritual realm, and I'm just giving you an overview. In the spiritual realm, and that's where I tried to draw a diagram here, which I hope works. And I'll turn it around afterwards. We have here like the earth. Now this is our solar system. So the earth is here with all the different realms here that was on page 21. And so I draw it as it circles, the whole thing circles. It's one, the planet, solar system. Let's pretend in another galaxy there's another star in our solar system and many others, that the whole universe, God is in control, and there are three types of sphere. One is that which is all these are little spheres, spiritual spheres within each solar system. There are spiritual spheres there. And God has His throne manifested here. But remember, our God is not just a God of the solar system. I mean, Yahweh God is not just solar system, Yahweh God. There are many other galaxies, many other planets, many other worlds, and God showed me all of them. At least a glimpse of some of them. I don't think I saw all of them. And in other galaxies, in other universes, there are also planets, there are also stars, and there are also inhabited beings. None of them are like those you saw in Star Trek and Star Wars. All of them have only one form, human form. It is international or universal standard. Sorry, there are no Klingons, Jabba the Hutt. All of them are human forms. Because it's the standard form of the universe. And in Hebrews chapter 11, God is a God of worlds, not just our world. All the galaxies are created by our God. In Hebrews chapter 11, when you talk about faith, it says there in verse 3, by faith we understand that the worlds, plural, the worlds, not just planet Earth, were framed by the Word of God. Of course, our Bible contains revelation sufficient for the earth. But there are many other worlds, galaxies, which Jesus our Lord, God has done many wondrous works. And our sister went into the spiritual realm behind the throne room. God showed you a glimpse of the universe, and you saw parts of it dark, because there are some parts where it's all in darkness. And one day God will deal with those areas. For the time being, there is a place of darkness, there's a place of Gehenna, lake of fire. Where is the lake of fire? Somewhere in the universe. Not on the planet Earth. Hell is within the planet Earth. But Gehenna, or the lake of fire, Gehenna, and which is related to hell, is another section. But the lake of fire is another whole section. Not located within the planet Earth or our system. And the devil will be thrown there into the lake of fire. It's in the different section. So our God rules all the galaxies and is innumerable. And continually there are new creations happening all the time. But a small percentage, in fact, our planet Earth and this whole section of the universe, one of the most darkest. That's why Jesus came to redeem us. And each of those worlds have a purpose. God revealed different things in them. We have our special place in the universe of our God. And so they are what I call different spheres that revolve around galaxies or solar systems. Many, many, many of them. These, I call them in my book, planetary spheres. Even all those things, right, so I show you here a bit on this side, and I leave it here on this side because I know you all didn't get to see. Okay, it looks something like that. Colored in green, little spheres. Now, oops, we still need that one. Okay, these things that are present, if a planet is not fallen like the Earth, you don't have this section. All you have is all the bright things. And they got direct connection to God, like Adam before the fall. The Earth was a part of heaven. The Earth was a part of heaven until Adam fell. Changed the whole thing. So there are worlds which are a part of the heavenly system of God. And some of you say, you know, out there, how come you cannot see, cannot contact? They are living in the spiritual realm. Why should they contact earthly beings? And they are all more angelic. And they are in a different dimension. You get to treat the physical world as just one ray of light. Imagine that you all know the rainbow has seven colors, right? But there are more than seven colors when you include infrared and ultraviolet. So let's say there are many, many, many shades of colors. And each color represents a different area of creation with different consistencies. The physical realm is only one of the colors. So if you can only see red, I paint myself blue, I'll be invisible to you. Because you cannot see blue. Correct? So the physical world is only one of those dimensions. So if God has created other planets, and no doubt you may see a reflection of some of the reddish color. Let's say if I paint myself blue with just my palm red, and you can only see red. Okay, let's say I wear everything blue from top to toe except my hand, I paint red. And you can only see red, and you're all painted red because you're a red creature. And I walk past you, you see this hand. Right? You will see this hand moving. You say, hey, you know, there is no human like me, because the only thing that exists is hands. So you think only hands exist outside of you, because that's the only realm you can see. So we are in a universe where we can only see in one dimension, although it's three dimensions, but it's one spirit dimension that we call the flesh, the physical atomic realm. So we look through a telescope made from the same red color that can see red color. And of course, we only see the reddish parts of other planets and other things and think nothing exists there. Because our existence is based on water, oxygen, and all that we know. All red in color. So we think that nothing else in the universe. And something has to be 100% red to be able to contact us. Same red. And there are multitudes of dimensions of creation in different vibrations. We are only one of the vibration realms. So of course, when another people exist in the blue realm, with a little shade of red, we will see shades of red there. Say, no life form. Maybe you say, only dust exists there. That's what's happening. Because we only count things in the physical. But let me tell you, when your spiritual eyes are open, you see all the wondrous things. And I saw these things. I'll bring this back. Every planet, every system is inhabited by beings of God's creation. Ooh. So the Martians you're looking for are not green with tentacles coming out, nor do they build spaceships looking like, and they look like octopus coming out to eat you, the war of the worlds. No. Just remember this, God doesn't waste space and time and energy. All those things out there that you see has its realm for spiritual purposes in a different dimension that you cannot see until God opens your eyes. And they're all for different things. Beyond the galaxies. That is why you could be, there are some professions that don't exist in heaven anymore. Doctors. Because no one gets sick. But tourism probably exists. Lots of places to see. Lots of places to visit. You could visit for the next 10 million years and you will touch just one drop in the ocean. You see, heaven is an exciting place with lots of other things. Lots of heavenly beings. Lots of interaction, angels and spirits from other worlds. And I'm not the only one who say, You read Sundar Singh's book, Sadhu Sundar Singh, The Spiritual World. In his introduction, he differentiates his terminology. He used the word angels to refer to angels who are working on the earth. And he sometimes used the word spirits to refer to spirits of men who have died and gone home to be with the Lord and serving as angels. And sometimes he used the word spirits to refer he used the word saints to refer to men who have died and gone home to be with the Lord. And he used the word spirits to refer to those from other worlds who come to serve at the planet Earth here. Mm-hmm. So I'm not the only one. That's too nothing for you. Just to let us know that the universe that God made is not a physical universe alone. That is why we all keep looking to the stars. We send the Hubble telescope, and the more powerful you build a telescope, the more, you know, you can see further. And man has not found what they term as physical life on other planets within our solar system yet. And they feel the whole universe is such a quiet place. Sorry, wrong frequency. You turn to the right spiritual frequency, you find it's all inhabited. It's such a hive of activity and praises and worship. It's such a joyful universe out there. All invisible to the physical realm. Even now, angels are here. None of you see it, right? Unless God opens some of your eyes. There are angels here. A whole group of them now, right now. And you think that only human beings are here. Even on this simple earth, small little, you know, corner of a church in what road is here? Macpherson Road. Angels here, and you only count human beings, you couldn't count the angels. Don't talk about the universe. And not only that, you go down the street and you go some bad place, there are probably a few demons hiding here and there around the corner. You don't see them, you might even run your car over them. And of course, they don't feel a thing. Because on this planet Earth, not just a human race is inhabiting, the angels here, your guardian angels, don't forget, they've been with you all your life since you were a baby. And they are real aliens, demons, running around. Here and there. You don't have to be afraid of them. When you go near with your light, they say, ah, and they run. But this world is inhabited by a lot of invisibles. So if you can conceive of this planet Earth like that, why can't you conceive of that, what I'm talking to you about, of the whole universe? What I'm trying to say is more busy than we realize. Lots of activity. And I saw between the galaxies, there are angels that are actually in charge. Boundaries all marked by angels. For lack of a better word, I call them angels. Because we humans, you know, we are so narrow, everything else is angels. So the four living creatures, they look different, so we call them bees. Around the throne. There are angels that are actually guarding the borders of galaxies and solar systems. Of course, some of you, if God gives you the privilege and you get into the spiritual realm and God gives you tours of other galaxies, I've been to the spiritual world, and those who live here, you know, now you see how small a spiritual world is. Here. I'm talking about spiritual world here. Here. We're talking about trying to get you to float here. So don't think it's a big thing I'm talking about. This is only the beginning. I'm trying to get you here where God exists. And you say, how come here we can see God? Of course you can. Remember the illustration of the black paper where you poke holes? So God can manifest His throne here, all over the place. The measures of God's presence. That is why Percy Cole and me too and our sister, when you go around the throne room, around a passageway, you see glimpses of other galaxies that God has created. It's a busy, busy universe. You know? It's not the universe story of Star Trek or Star Wars with spaceships flying all over the place and with dark weather somewhere. It's not. It's a universe full of angels. For lack of a better word, Everyone else is angels. Those from the other galaxy, angels. Yeah, angels, angels. Actually, they're all spirit beings. A hive of activity. And here's the spiritual world. There are some people here, when they progress to a certain level, they have conducted angelic tours to other planets and other galaxies. Wow, that's interesting. Some of those who have gone before us, they are part of their education, they are really progressing there. And so these are called planetary spheres. They are spheres revolving around the Earth, like what I drew up there in my book, page 21. These are spheres, there are many spheres. Those are all, every planet has that, revolving around a planet. But beyond the planet and solar system are what I call the celestial spheres. All the empty space and all those things, there are other spheres of progresses within that the naked eye cannot see. And so it's a different type of sphere where there is no physical form, no shape. It's just like if you can only see red, and then another person is in the blue realm, and they are blue with pockets of red, so you look at them, no life exists, only dust. Because why? All dots, you've seen dust exist. So you don't know they exist. And then there's another realm that is all blue, so to you, nothing exists there. And then all green, you cannot even see them. And the higher you go, the lighter the atmosphere. And the experience of going higher and higher is like this. It's almost like you can't breathe because you're not used to the lighter air. If you climb Mount Everest nowadays, you need oxygen bottles. What happens if you climb double Mount Everest? You might need an astronaut suit. Because you can't breathe. You can hardly breathe on Mount Everest. You need oxygen tanks. The air is too light. It can't exist. Not enough oxygen. So when a being of lesser glory tries to go higher and higher into eternal glory, it is like, cannot exist. Can't live, going to die. Because they don't die in the spirit. They're so uncomfortable, it's almost like dying. They have to quickly come back to their level. But as you progress, and this is an interesting thing, let me push it all the way to that side now. Oh, before I go and push it to that side, God exists outside the whole creation here. Outside of time and space. And I call that God's sphere. Now, God's spheres have many other realms of revelations that can only glimpse. Not enough to go further. Can't breathe. But I know there's some more there that God has not revealed. So there's God's spheres, there are celestial spheres between all the galaxies, and every one of them revolving around God. Every one of them. Finally revolving around God. Our solar system revolves around the sun. Our sun revolves around the galaxy. All in our galaxy, there's a center of our Milky Way galaxy where all the stars are revolving around. And our galaxy revolves around something else that nobody knows. And there's something else that nobody knows revolves around something else that nobody thought. And there's something else that nobody thought revolves around something else that nobody even thought to thought. And there's something else that nobody thought to thought revolves around, finally, God, who is the center of all His creation. Now, each sphere covers the other. In other words, the celestial sphere covers the lower planetary sphere. And they have their own development. And God's sphere has His own sphere, but His sphere is so huge that it covers everything else also. That is why the Bible says, in Him we live and move and have our being. That's why we still can access God. In spite of the fact that He's so great, so mighty, in the whole universe. So we realize that that's the realm of God. And some people think, wow, really, in the last days, God going to give all of us a chance to see heaven. The heaven they're talking about is just here. There's some more. So don't think that, you know, is that impossible? If you think that's impossible, what about that thing, son? Because this is just the beginning. And God wants His people in the last days to understand this land, that they can go and access Him, seated in heavenly places in Christ. In every planetary sphere, there is always God's throne, a representation of His throne. And that's where Christ is seated, at the right hand of God, in our planetary system. Because God is at the moment simultaneously in another universe where He's manifesting His throne too. But for us, that's where the Bible ends. And that's where we can access and be seated in heavenly places in Christ, in that planetary sphere. And remember, I talked about how light and heavy you are. It all has to do with your thoughts and the cleansing of your thoughts. Obviously, kataros, blessed are the pure in heart. The word pure is kataros. And kataros in John 15 verse 3 is cleansing. Obviously, if you're clean, if you're pure by the word, what does the word do? In Hebrews 4 verse 12, it separates your spirit and your soul. Because when it says, for the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, joints and marrow, discerner the thoughts and intents of the heart. When it separates your spirit and soul, your spirit could soar like a bird. And be where it wants. And your consciousness can move along with it. And it's not so much, as I say, trying or in the body struggling, but it's in the spirit flowing. Now, how we're going to do that? Can we look at page 31 in my book, where I show you how to get into the realm of the spirit? So in that diagram, just now I show you the external view, right, of the spiritual world. So the next time, or even tonight when you finish, you go home, you look out at the stars, remember every star has spirit beings surrounding them, planets and spirit beings. It's full of life, music, assuming all those planets are not fallen planets like the planet Earth. Some of you are thinking in your mind, how many planets have fallen? Is it the planet Earth only? No, there are a few. But I can tell you, it's in the minority. The rest are all flowing, functioning. And some of them are functioning at Revelation 21 level. They have their own eons of history before us. Remember, we live in a history, this period of history, we are not the first on the scene. Before us was Lucifer and all the fallen angels. Remember all the stories. One third are angels. There's some stories eons and millions of years before us. Some stories that we never hear. Because the Bible is only just for this age and this world. So there are some other planets in some other galaxies that have already moved into their Revelation 21. What is Revelation 21? When our planet Earth will become a new heaven and a new earth. You read that in Revelation 21. Guess what? Then we join the force of light in the universe. That means when God's light comes. Like our sister saw, some places are still dark. But in the spiritual world, there are some places dark, some places are all lighted up. Entire galaxies, entire planets. So after Revelation 21, the spiritual world is all completed in the planet Earth, and we can see multi colors, not just like red. And you can see all the beings You can see all those multicolors. So I have shown in the first section just the panoramic view of the whole spiritual world and the whole galaxy and universe as it is in five dimensions. Four dimensions is X, Y, Z plus T, time. Still physical. But you must see in the fifth dimension, the spiritual realm. So I've shown you that in the spiritual realm, the whole galaxy looks different. A beehive of activity. It's a busy, busy universe. If your spiritual ears can hear, wow, there's lots of activity in outer space right now. Not the kind you imagine in your cartoons or in your movies, but real angelic activities. And there are beings that I've seen progress so powerful, angels and beings so powerful that once were like us in humans, who have progressed so powerful, they're in charge of entire new planets that God are still doing. Wow. But Jesus is still Lord. God is still our same God, our Father. And now we look at the internal part of our being. Right? You saw all the panoramic view of the spiritual world. Now look at the internal part of our being and how we as creatures can synchronize to the universe. We are created spirit, soul and body. So I say the spirit is our heart here. In diagram 31, page 31 of my book, there's this diagram that I drew and there's a red circle called the spirit heart. God is always in contact with every single created being through the spirit and through the heart. So God has created a part of His presence. You see, when God created us as humans, He didn't just create us. He formed the body, but He put a part of Him in us called the spirit. He breathed into Adam. You remember that? You all know the scriptures. I don't have to turn to that. He breathed into Adam. He didn't create the spirit. When He breathed, He actually gave a part of His spirit. So when God created humans, and all humans exist today because of the spirit. In a sense, we already live eternally. Because if your body dies, you still continue to exist eternally, except if you don't know Christ and you're not walking in the light, you're eternally in darkness. So there's a part of us that never dies. Because that is the God part. And sometimes it's dark because it's like a black hole, where the light that God is pumping into the spirit is turned inward. See, a black hole is a black hole because no light can come out from it. Why? The gravitational force of the black hole is so great that when light tries to come out, light is photons or electromagnetic waves, the gravitational pull is so strong it grabs the photons back to itself. So you've got no chance of coming out. So if there's no light, you can't see anything, you only see darkness. And darkness is produced in a person's life, or in the devil who is a creature of darkness. It's because even though God has pumped that life in spirit, instead of the spirit coming forth, the spirit has turned inward onto itself, and it looks dark. But the original life still came from God. Now you can understand why. Even though God gave life, it's still dark. Why God created the devil as a good being, Lucifer, and He can turn into the devil because of free will. And the same, God is trying to save humankind, to teach us how to be a bright light. How to turn outwards of ourselves and release the light that He has. So we have here your spirit, which continually, let me repeat, there is enough life to last eternity, but you need a continual supply of life in your spirit to sustain it. And right now, in a sense, every spirit is connected to God. In a sense. Because it's like vibrating, pulsating with life. Just like physically, you're alive because your heart is beating. If your physical heart stops beating, you become physically dead. Spiritually, there is a heartbeat that beats from God's heart, pumping into every spirit being. Boom, 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 boom. If God were to stop pumping that spirit being would stop existing. We are closer to the spirit realm than we realize. Your very existence is because of God's Spirit creating you as an individual spirit being, a part of Him. And so through our spirits, we are connected to God. Through our spirit, it's connected to God. And the connection, of course, is an invisible realm that we cannot measure. And there's no distance in the spirit. If right now God were to completely take out the spirit of Satan, He would stop existing. Even Satan exists because God permit him to exist. Let me tell you that. God could immediately right now cause him to be wiped out of existence. Because all his created beings live in the celestial world which has time and space in a different realm from God. So our spirits, and when we are born again, God re-energizes your spirit. A new creation. And your spirit has fresh new connections. It is like previously you were just connected with a tiny little one atom with wire. And suddenly you're connected by this huge giant cable kilometers long, wide. So our spirit is connected to God. And then our soul, which consists of our will, our intellect, and our emotions. Our soul was created to function in a mini form as God wants us to function like mini little creatures of His, in His image. So our soul receives the ability to perceive, which is the intellect, the ability to receive, which strangely is our emotions. See, your intellect doesn't really receive, although it feels like receiving. Your intellect only perceives. As it is there, you perceive what's going on. The real reception is in your emotions. Receives. And the will has the power to conceive. God made us creatures to receive, to perceive, to conceive. Now, if we don't have perception, we won't have the joy of being human. That is why the philosopher says, I think, therefore I am. If you don't think and you receive and conceive, you're a robot. We make creatures that has information input, information output. It doesn't think. Computer doesn't think. It's only as good as what you input or program it. A computer is not self-aware. It just does a function based on the programming and what you input. So, intellect gives you the ability to perceive. That makes it different. Your thinking ability. Now, the will is tied to our ability to conceive. That is why in the spiritual realm, the exercise of the will, and I talk about opening and closing your spirit, your will, and not just willpower, the will is a source of releasing the energy of God. See, it's not your willpower, it's God's will guiding you. And in a sense, when you're in Christ, all three needs to take place. 1 Corinthians 2, the mind of Christ in your intellect, not your mind, but the mind of Christ, helps you to perceive. In your emotions, the affections of Christ. In Philippians chapter 1, Paul says that I long for you all with the affections of Christ, the splachna of Christ, the Greek word splachna. And the splachna of Christ refers to the affections of Christ. And the Greek word splachna has been translated as compassion in Matthew chapter 14. And all the other places where compassion occurs is splachna. So your emotions have the splachna or compassion of Christ. Your will, in Philippians chapter 2, it is God who enables us to will. So it's not your willpower. He energizes your will. That's what our original form or soul is supposed to function in its full way. And then I link it up with the different aspects of the universal function of the spiritual realm. Like the intellect as consciousness, and it functions based on a certain frequency. Now let me talk about that part. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 17 and 18. Paul prayed that the eyes of your understanding will be flooded with light. We are able to think because there is a spiritual light shining inside. We might not realize it. Yes, even unbelievers are able to think because of that little light that is still shining in them. If we lose that little light, we lose the ability to think. So the ability to think is like a gift from God. And there is a flow of what I call thoughts that you can tap on in God. Not our thoughts. There is a flow of thoughts that can come from God when you tune to the right frequency, where you can receive wisdom, understanding, thought and knowledge. The emotions, the ability to receive, has to do with experience. And down there, can we just look at down there, the words there? Let's move it up a bit. Reception. Character, memory, feelings, music, all is in that realm. Now you see why music sometimes prepares to receive. Why do we always have worship services? Why is worship so powerful? It's in the realm of reception. Why did Elisha have to play music in order to function in the anointing? Before he could prophesy, he has to receive. To receive, he has to tune to the music realm. Ties up to your emotions. The wheel up here, transmission or giving out, power, free choice, false architecture. In heaven, they do not build the homes by construction workers going to carry material. When a whole new mansion is being built, there are no wasted parts. There's none of the chaos that you find when they build a building here in the physical earth. What happens when they build a new MRT station or a new building? You look at the ground, it looks like chaos. It's a big hole in the ground. And there's all kinds of materials brought to site. Everything looks like a mess until everything finished. There's no mess in heaven. God showed me how, in one of the visions, how they build a mansion. They have a team of people, or angels, a team of angels, and the angels in charge would be the leader with all the others, and all they do is project their will. They will to have the foundation, let's say, of precious stones, and foundation stones are built. As the energy flows through them, not their will, but the will of God. See, when you line up your will with the will of God carries you. And notice, when we talk about the will of God is very powerful. When you line up with the will of God, and it's the will of God for you to finish your ministry in 20 years, you can never die. Do you realize that? If you live in the perfect will of God, and it's God's will for you to have 20 years to do His will, they can try to shoot you, you won't die. Do anything to you, you won't die. Remember they tried to kill Jesus? And they want to throw him down the cliff? He just walked past them because it was not God's will for him to be crucified yet. They can only lay a hand on him when it was time to go. Until, if you live in the perfect will of God, you're very powerful. Because the whole will of God is protecting you. And anyone and any circumstances that try to come against the will of God is in trouble. Because the whole power of God is fighting against them. And all the forces of God are in line with the will. So the will of God is not just your will. When it's God's will to build, let's say, a mansion, and those who are still learning, they have their part in that, they put the foundation first. And they have the place. And in heaven, environment and the building all are one. So, if you take a flower from the garden and you put it on the wall, the flower won't die. It will live forever on the wall. There's no death. So, when they build, all of them were standing in position. The angels stand in position. This was what the Lord showed when they built a mansion. And they would just be like meditating. And I'm going to conclude with that, how to get into those levels. This is talking about us internally. And they were just like tuning into God. And then when they tap into that spirit realm or that frequency where they're receiving and they understand, it goes through their intellect because it colors whatever colors they want of what they're creating. And everything that is created has a part of the character of those it flow through. Beautiful. I cannot express it. Let me explain. Let's say, hypothetically, Elijah built your mansion. Your mansion will have the smell, the taste, the feel of Elijah. Elijah forever. Because whatever you make, something remains. It has flown through your character and it's like color, like a fragrance, like a smell. There's no word to describe it. I'm struggling. But there's some part of that person still there. So it's important how the mansions are built. Who builds it? When it's built, and that's why some of them, when they build it, they take from your life. They take from your contributions in God. And they would absorb from God's energy and absorb all that you release to them. And it pour out all into the foundation so that when you enter your heavenly mansion, you say, this is exactly the way I want it that makes me so happy. Not one drop less, not one drop more, perfect. See, they have to absorb from the best in you. And then they will continue meditating. You know, looks like meditation in the spiritual realm, very powerful. But when meditation is not everyone sit like a Buddha and go, No, you don't have a few million people doing that in heaven. They could be walking and meditating, you know. Just fellowshipping and they're still in meditative mode. Connected to God. You treat the word meditate as connected to God. And always connected to God. So they would, and when they need more energy, they just like yield. And there's more energy flowing. So the walls are finished. And then the roof comes. And then the leader of the angel will do the finishing touch. And He does something. He doesn't have to even patch the building. He just used the God, and the spiritual force comes, and the whole thing just comes finished, and it has its glow. No loose bricks. It is beautiful throughout the whole process. Not like the way we build things down here. You know, if the angels look at the way we build, when the angels look at the way we build things here, it's all messy. But it's beautiful from the ground up. They don't actually build a mansion in a sense. They grow a mansion. Imagine being able to build a car atom by atom. What kind of car would you produce? The most brilliant, powerful car. Nobody can do it today. There's no technology that can... Imagine if we humans got the technology to manipulate atoms and molecules and build everything from the molecular value, pattern. We would be very powerful, isn't it? Everything connected exactly. We build with tiny little parts here and there, the smaller, the more finer. It's powerful when you build things from that way. And they are building things from even the spiritual substance. In a sense, they grow a house. And how do we get into that state? Five Hebrew words to close with, which will take the next 5 minutes. 1 minute per word. But we'll touch on it tomorrow. Five Hebrew words, 1 minute per word. I just have to throw it out and say, you know, akan datang tomorrow. Okay, more to come tomorrow, which we hope to finish it. And we know that there's the word meditate in Psalms 1, but I just bring forth to you, in brief, how to get into that state. Because yesterday when we were attempting to help you all move into the spirit realm, some of you tasted of the soul, and some of you tasted partly of the spirit, but there's more to get into it. Five Hebrew words. First is the Hebrew word Daman. First level of meditation, Daman. Psalm chapter 4 verse 4. Which is the Hebrew word for quiet. And quiet. When you start getting into the spirit realm, the first thing you want to do is have internal spirit, soul and body quiet. That will be the same, remember I said love, joy, peace yesterday. Philippians chapter 4 verse 7 and 8. Peace garrisons your heart and your mind. If your internal system is very noisy, you cannot hear. Remember yesterday, if you try to hear what God is saying about, let's say, some areas like Israel or Singapore or your loved ones, and you've got all kinds of thoughts and emotions floating around, you cannot hear the spiritual realm. So you have to have a quietness. Number two, second level, we'll go more into it tomorrow. Rafa. Psalms 46 verse 10. Which is the word meditate. But a different Hebrew word, Rafa. Rafa means let go, to surrender. Remember, Sister Alice was sharing just now, there was a time when you let go, you move into level 2. See, there's a quietness, but quietness is not that, there's a letting go. Remember yesterday when some of you wanted to move the thing, you actually have to let go. If you're too self-conscious, and you try to think, also cannot. You got to let go. You learn to spiritually relax, you must learn to relax your soul and allow your spirit to flow through. So there is an inner letting go, inner surrender. Now, let me tell you, number two is not easy. Now, when our first sister was sharing just now, when you were going and then you were frightened, there's something holding on, if you move to level two, let go. Live, live, die, die. Ah. That's really letting go. Right? When you teach someone to swim, what is their fear? Drowning. And the more they struggle, the more they drown. So they learn to let go. And then, lo and behold, they float. So when you let go, live, live, die, die. But of course, in God is live, live. So you will float up, let go. Number three, Demamah, D-E-M-A-M-A-H. 1 Kings 19, verse 12. It's the word still small voice. Not the word small, the word still. The word still is not the word, not the same word as the first word quiet. Here still is like a calm, but the calm is so great that you are now in the receptive mode where you can hear God speaking. So the first is quietness. Second is the letting go. Third, you begin to hear. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit has to say. And he that has an eye, let him see what the Spirit has to show. So you begin to see, you begin to hear, you begin to receive. And it is in the Mama level is 2 Corinthians 3:18 level, which is where you're completely mirroring. Katok krinizomai. We had the word yesterday. And yesterday I tried to push you a bit into that, but at least you had a little bit of practice. Chapter level 4 is found in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31. They that wait on the Lord. The word wait is the Hebrew word kavah. Q-A-V-A-H. Kavah. And that word doesn't just mean wait. It means to be bonded together and bound together with the Lord. The same Hebrew word in Genesis 1 verse 9 is translated, and he gathered the waters together. The word gathered together is the same Hebrew word found translated wait in Isaiah 40 verse 31. So at the fourth level, you are one with God. You experience that unity with God, that oneness with God. The fifth level, chakra. Unfortunately, they go and use this word in the New Age. Right? Chakra level or something, right? But it's a real Hebrew word in the Bible. And what it means is something totally different. Chakra, C-H-A-K-A-H, is found in Isaiah 64, verse 4. It shows here that the Lord shows eye has not seen nor ear heard. Those things that God has prepared for those who chaka on Him or wait on Him. It's a different Hebrew word for wait. The word chaka, wait here, fortunately, this verse has been repeated in the New Testament. In 1 Corinthians 2 verse 9. And Paul changed the Hebrew word chaka into the word love. Eye has not seen nor ear heard those things which the Lord and those things God prepared for those who love Him. Chakra level is where you begin to experience all the fullness of God's love. Remember Ephesians 3, the finale of Ephesians 3, where the length, the width, the depth, the height of the love of God. That's the chakra level here. And at that level, you're moving powerfully in God. All the energy of God's love. Because in the spiritual world, love is the energy and love is the food. It's the real food that sustains the spiritual realm. So when they absorb the love of God, the more energetic they are. That's why in Galatians chapter 5, it tells us that faith is energized by love. Even on this earth right now, in the church age, we need faith, the give of faith. And you have more faith energy when you experience the level 5. Miracle energizing working power of God. Praise God. Let's pray. Father, we give thanks to you. We ask that you open the dimension of our eye and our spirit to know that it's not us but you. Lord, help us so that we, as we listen to your word and understand these teachings, Lord, we will not go in our own strength, but we will always tap upon the flow of your spirit, flowing through our spirit. It changes, transforms, and energizes us. Thank you, Father. Energize us through your spirit and cause us to tap upon the full level that you want for us, that will energize us into the spiritual realm. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God, Pastor Jim.